This is Tracy.
And this is Sheila, and we are Zwei Fat Chicks. And we are coming to you from the local Starbucks cafe nestled within the chapters of the Oshawa Center.
Yep, it's nice and quiet. We've run
this
into
is
this.
Take three.
We've just run into this problem where we find a good place that we really like to go out and record out because we like to record out. And
I think it's a little bit more dynamic.
Yeah.
It gives a little bit more energy, I think.
Yeah, we're stimulated by our surroundings. But every time we've gone someplace that we've really liked the second time around, it's been atrocious. Noisy, chaotic.
It's a big tease.
Oh, I miss Apple Annie's.
I know. So, eventually, someday, we'll get a home recording studio or something.
Yeah, we need to upgrade the apartment to something a little bigger. And I think we're going to set up a little mini studio at home so we have a nice quiet place to record when we get this frustrated.
You may have noticed something different about the intro. That's the theme to Red Dwarf, for those that aren't in the know. And that ties into our subject for this episode, which is we went to the Curry Club restaurant. And I can't think of curry without thinking of Curry Vindaloo and Red Dwarf, which is a British sci-fi series set on a mining vessel?
It was a kind of a giant space vessel.
Don't mind the beans, they're just being ground.
It was probably the first time I'd heard of curry was on Red Dwarf. I mean, I was a kid, Dad used to tape it for me on PBS at 4 in the morning when they showed it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I had the special tape of Red Dwarf episodes. It was like gold because to order it was an import. It was hideously expensive.
Back in the day when imported things were hideously expensive and a luxury.
And hard to find because there was no internet. You had to have the catalog. You had to know somebody who got on the mailing list. So, yeah, that's the first time I think I'd really heard of curry. I might have, you know, heard the term dropped once or twice, but not really, like, on there.
Yeah.
And it's modern curry isn't really, it's an Indian food, but it isn't kind of thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like how pizza has been taken from its Italian roots and turned into something kind of Italian-American and then given back to the Italians, whereas curries were how the British saw Indian food and tried to remake it at home.
It's how they took the spices and made it their own kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. But then it's come full circle because even at high-class Indian restaurants, you'll see curries listed, even though they aren't necessarily part of everyday ethnic cuisine.
It's not like 100% authentic Indian food. It doesn't go back thousands of years, but it's close enough.
It's tasty and delicious.
Yeah, who cares? It tastes good. That's enough about the authenticity. As long as it tastes good, that's all that really matters.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to, like Sheila said, Curry Club downtown. I think every major town who has curry has a restaurant called a Curry Club. I've seen a bunch of them before. They're not related. They're usually small mom-and-pop places. This one's been there for a while. Mm-hmm. You say as long as you can remember. I remember walking past it to get to the Rainbow.
Yeah.
So it's not going to disappear overnight.
Yeah.
It's on 38 Simcoe Street, which means it's just up the block from the Rainbow. It's about not far from the comic store, so it's easy to get to.
Across from the Armory.
Across from the Tank.
When you see the really big tank, turn left.
Yes. And
or park to the left.
It's a tiny little place. I think maybe a dozen tables in the place, and that's being generous.
Yeah.
But it's okay, because the turnover is so fast. They bring your food out so fast, you really don't have to wait.
You walk in, you seat yourself, the waiter takes your order, they make it out back, and they bring it in, and it's really quick.
Blindingly
and really
fast.
Delicious.
The only thing I could think of to compare it to is American-Mexican restaurants, how fast those are at lunchtime. It's the same thing. So we went in, we had been putting off going there for a few weeks because we wanted to go when during lunch. Because they had a great lunch special posted. And when you go to a new restaurant that they don't have a menu posted outside to take a look at, you're always nervous because you don't know how high the tab can get.
You don't know how much money to bring.
Mm-hmm.
Literally.
Literally.
That's how I look at it anyway.
Yeah, so we decided we'll hit it for lunch. We'll check out the lunch menu. If we don't see anything else we like, we can at least get the lunch special that's posted. And it was a really good choice. The lunch special is a chicken or beef curry with potatoes, the one type of rice on the side.
Basmati rice. And
man
bread.
They call it something else. I can't say it. Pailu rice. It's like basmati rice with some spices in it. And naan bread. And it's huge. Sheila's got the picture up on the website if you want to see it. It was $4.99. For $4.99, that's...
For that much food? You can't beat that with a stick.
Oh my god. Filling, delicious. The curry was good. I'm kind of a curry novice, so
to me,
was great.
If there's anything that Tracy and I want to explore more because we're not that knowledgeable about it, it is Indian food.
That's one ethnic cuisine that I don't feel really comfortable with because I don't have a lot of experience with it. I mean, my first experience was in Morgantown when I was 25, 26.
Right.
And we did, when we talked about the team builder?
Yeah.
We went out, when you work in business America, you at some point will be subjected to something called a team builder. It's management is under the mistaken impression that if you go outside of the workplace after hours and do things with your coworkers, you will hate them less.
The person that you think is a jerk at work, you will somehow think that they are less of a jerk.
Yes.
But then they don't realize that most people are mature enough to be able to like somebody outside of work and still hate them at work.
Yes, exactly. Or vice versa. You can like somebody at work and you just can't stand their guts outside of work. So,
right, they do a great job, but boy, are they grating and annoying.
Yes. The only nice part about team builders is usually they don't make it after hours. They make it sometimes during your shift, so you get out of work. The company foots the bill. Depending where you work, it could be something really elaborate, like a weekend team builder, or it could be something we did, lower budget ones, like going to the mini golf place in Fairmont.
The bowling place.
Fun for all. Valley Worlds of Fun.
Yes.
So we could do things like that. But this one was supposed to be a unit team builder, which was only for these people working under this particular boss. And she wanted to know what we wanted to do. And we all said, well, we definitely want to go out to dinner to a nice restaurant. We want to do that as our team builder. We don't want to go to a movie. We don't want to go play pool or go bowling or whatever. And our boss was Indian. And after bandying about a couple things, somebody suggested, and it wasn't me, actually. They said, well, there's this great Indian restaurant downtown, Star of India Cafe. Mm-hmm. Why don't we go there? Because I don't know anything about Indian food. Most of us don't. And you can tour guide us through the menu. And our boss said, that's a great idea. I'd love to do that. If that's what you guys want to do, that'd be fantastic. And it was a blast.
What a great experience. I wish I could have been there.
I know. It was no wives, no spouses kind of deal. But the boss was somebody who was very hard to work for, but a very nice person outside of work. Mm-hmm. So it was actually very enjoyable. I don't remember most of what I learned that night because it was just an orgy of food.
Yeah.
Because she literally went down the menu and ordered almost one of everything.
Well, I mean,
so we could try everything.
Yeah. When you have that many people, you have a certain amount that you can spend, and mm-hmm. with this type of food, you can get a lot.
Well, we did.
I mean, she probably took you on a very extensive tour of the cuisine.
Oh, my God. I ate so much. And I was one of the people who weren't ashamed to eat a lot in front of other people.
Really?
And she loved it, because she's a mom, and she felt the need to feed us. So she's like, Tracy, have some more. I'm like, yes, I will. Scooping stuff onto my plate. And I wasn't afraid to try anything, because I've had funky food before. But it was nice to have somebody there saying, this is this. These are what it's going to taste like. These ones will have a different flavor. This one's really spicy. This one's really mild.
Yeah.
There's descriptions
like
on the menu.
We tour guide people through dim sum.
Yeah.
You will like this. It's got this and this and this ingredient in it. The texture of it is kind of like this. So we can describe to people what they're about to eat.
Yes. But I think that night I ate twice my weight in naan bread anyway. So a wonderful experience. Unfortunately, the last time we checked, the Star of India Cafe is no longer in Morgantown.
No.
Which was a shame because it was a gorgeous restaurant when you walked inside. It was nice. Like tablecloth nice.
Mm-hmm.
Very affordable to go to and very authentic food. I mean, even she enjoyed it, so.
Right.
She wasn't like, my mother's cooking is better. She's like, yeah, this is great. So, but that's like my major experience with Indian food. I know we stopped at a place in Pittsburgh with Patrick and Sherry.
Yeah.
I can't remember
what it's called, but
it was in Oakland. I don't remember.
I'll search it out and put up a website, but that was my huge experience with Indian food, to be honest. And that was actually really awesome, because you just get...
Buffets are a good way to experience new ethnic cuisines like that, I think.
Yeah, because a lot of it was, you know, you take your rice, the rice is pretty much everywhere,
mm-hmm.
and then you top it with various sauces and mixed vegetables and meat, mm-hmm. or just vegetables alone, or lentils. That's what it seems like mm-hmm. is the cornerstone, like if there's a formula for Indian food, that's probably it.
It's a stewed, a stewed kind of meat with a thick sauce of some spice sauce, usually on top of some kind of bed of rice or lentils.
Mm-hmm.
That's the perfect way to describe it. There are lots of exceptions. There's lots of different things.
Of course. I'm making a broad sweeping generalization
mm-hmm.
here.
And the bread. Oh, I could go on. I could talk about naan bread forever.
Well, we actually saw Alton Brown make naan bread on Good Eats.
Mm-hmm.
And he did the tandoori grill, which was kind of crazy because... He took his charcoal barbecue, and he uses the natural charcoal because it gets hotter, it burns cleaner, it lasts longer.
It tastes better.
So he gets a big pile of coals going for that, and then he takes this giant flower pot, this terracotta planter, that he's taken a masonry blade and cut the bottom off of. He soaked it in a garbage can filled with water for a whole day, and then he takes it out, dries it off, and then... puts that on top of his barbecue and lets it get hot. And that makes the perfect cylindrical tandoori oven.
To mimic the tandoori where you bake the bread on the side of the wall.
And I didn't realize this. They just, like, make up the naan bread mix, and they just slap it on the side of the wall.
Yeah, it's like a pancake that's baked vertically.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And then they have the skewers going down into the middle, mm-hmm. which is... It's like a cylinder of heat that cooks them. It's a very efficient way of cooking, and it's used in a lot of areas where there would be, like, little fuel to have mm-hmm. a really big, like, long roasting fire.
It's residual heat, too, because you're using heat that you're already cooking everything else in, and the only space that's left usually is on the side wall of the oven, the tandoori.
Right.
So that's when you throw your dough on the wall.
Which
so
is
it makes
awesome.
Sense. And the dough, what else is special about it is it usually has yogurt mixed into the base.
Yeah, there's a lot of yogurt mm-hmm. in Indian cooking, and even if you're not a fan of just eating plain old yogurt, it makes it just creamy. It's like a substitute for cream.
Mm-hmm. Or mayonnaise.
Or mayonnaise. And it gives a very tangy, really nice, creamy flavor mm-hmm. to everything. A nice texture, too. It's very silken.
Yes. It makes the naan bread kind of chewy, and it gives it this tooth feel that...
It makes it much different than a pita or... Any other unleavened
it's
bread?
It's very, very hard to replicate. I can't think of anything else that's like it, but I love it. I could eat a stack of naan bread by myself.
Yeah. It's not like you
just
can
smear
sit there
and the mango chutney on it and go nuts.
Yeah, it's not like you can take flatbreads and just interchange them with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you couldn't just throw a tortilla in with some hummus.
No.
I mean,
you could,
but it wouldn't be the same as having a pita.
But at the same
time,
you couldn't have a good burrito in a pita.
Right.
That wouldn't be right at all. Or you couldn't put, you know, taco meat in naan bread. It would be weird.
Yeah.
Actually, I know what the naan bread is almost like. This is heretical. I'm not saying it is this. But for the same, almost same texture, get a chalupa from Taco Bell. That squishy flat bread, the way they do it, it's almost like the texture of naan bread. But naan bread's 100 times better.
Yeah.
But that's the closest texture I can think of. That kind of bite when you bite into it. The way your teeth go through it, it's
like
that.
Well, it's like bubbly and stuff from where it's been cooked at such high heat very quickly. So, I don't know.
We're big fans of that. So, anyway, back to what we ordered. So, you got the...
I got the beef vindaloo because I'm a big Red Dwarf fan. So, and I should have actually gotten the lunch special because it was a bigger assortment of things.
But less meat. Yes.
Literally, I got like a...
You got at least half a pound of meat.
Yeah. I got this crock with... meat and potatoes smothered in this velvety spicy in both senses of the word. I ordered it medium spice so it was like this medium spicy burn, and I could taste all the different, like, the saffron and the cinnamon and the cardamom and all the other spices that are in it,
which, because she can taste those, me, I tasted tasty. I even grabbed the bite of hers, like, that's good, mine's hotter, I like it better.
Yeah. And Indian food has a burn that is very different than spicy Spanish, very different than the Far Eastern, like Laotian food, or spicy Chinese, the red peppers from that.
It's a much more subtle burn.
Yeah.
But it blends with the taste. The point isn't to be hot, the point is to be tasty.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the difference is compared to at least some modern Southwestern cuisine, where the point is to be hot. And once we actually do, you're eating dangerously. Little miss, you need to do your homework.
Yes, ma'am.
We're going to talk extensively about heat and extract sauces, too.
Mm.
So, I know we keep teasing people and saying we're going to do it next. Somebody needs to do some reading.
Yes, ma'am.
But, so yours looked great when it came out. Mine was great. Mine had less meat because it was the lunch special, but it didn't matter. Everything was so tasty on it. The potatoes were as good as the chicken. I could have just eaten the potatoes and the curry sauce and would have been just as happy.
Definitely.
And Sheila stole some of my naan bread, which was fine.
I should have ordered some naan bread or gotten some rice on the side because I needed some.
Mine was almost too much food. I would say on the 1 to 5 Aaron scale, mine was probably a 4.
Yeah.
And yours was probably a 3. Yours was what you should have had. Mine was more food than one person should eat for lunch. I almost felt like I needed a nap. And we'd gotten up late today and gone out for lunch before we did our grocery shopping. So this was actually breakfast. We had curry for breakfast. I feel so hardcore. But their menu is absolutely shocking here. It's huge. And they have a Western menu, too.
Yeah, they do serve Western-style breakfast, and they have...
And it's sandwiches on it, hot roast beef, and burgers and everything.
So if we do want to take the guys there, even if somebody isn't interested in eating Indian, there's at least something that they can have. And the breakfast looked big, greasy, and delicious.
Oh, we saw one of the breakfasts come out when we were checking out. Of paying at the register, and
it was like a ham and eggs thing, and there was big, thick cut slices of ham that were fried, so...
It was rainbow worthy.
Yeah.
I can see where they compete with the rainbow for all-day breakfast with people.
Right.
Which, my heart will always belong to the rainbow, but theirs looked pretty good, too.
Yeah.
So...
Well, I was like, man, do they have breakfast here, and they dare to have it all day right down the block from the Rainbow.
Oh, scandalous.
Right. But then I saw it, and I'm like, okay, well, that's why they can still do that.
Yes. Well, it makes them more versatile to offer the Western and the Indian cuisine as well.
Right. In case you do have a big group of people, and one person doesn't like it, but they want to go out to dinner with everybody, then they can have a cheeseburger or something.
Well, once you get over four people in a group, there's usually somebody who doesn't like a particular food that you're going out for. Mm-hmm. The more people you add the group, the more of those you add. It almost increases disproportionately at that point.
Right.
So it's not like a 20% kind of thing. You get to 10 people, and half the group don't like what you're going for. It's weird.
Yeah.
The menu prices run anywhere from $5-something for some of the vegetable dishes all the way up to about $8, $9 for a dish.
It looks like it's about
completely worth
$8
it.
For a dinner size. Mm-hmm. Unless you're starting to go into the seafood, then it's $10, $11.
Mm-hmm. No, you can
so
add...
So it's pretty easy on the pocketbook, especially if you manage to score the lunch special.
The lunch special. Now, if you're getting one of the regular dinner specials, you can add Nan bread to it for $1.50, a nominal amount. You could add rice to it for $1.50. Again, a nominal amount for the food
There's
you get.
There's a lot of a la carte stuff that's, you know,
tons.
Under $2 that you can add on to your...
In an
thing.
Extensive vegetarian section.
Yes.
I think vegetarians in Oshawa have it pretty darn good, especially compared to vegetarians in Orillia.
Yeah, definitely.
Because you can go down to Viva Burrito. Jay has great
grilled
selections.
Mexican stuff.
Yeah, you can get vegetables. You can get vegetables in just about everything he makes.
Mm-hmm.
You have lots of options there. Oz Pita has tons of vegetarian options.
Yeah.
And then looking at the vegetarian selections here at Curry Club, I think vegetarians have it easy.
Yeah.
You could actually pull it off in Oshawa.
Yeah,
so.
If you're lacto-ovo, you're good to go, you know.
It just, even the vegetarian things look great. They're described great. Oh, roasted eggplant mashed with cooked peas, onions, and spices. That just makes me want to smear it on something and eat it. So.
Potatoes and eggplant cooked with spices.
And there are different rice dishes as well. The one that caught my eye that I'd love to get some people together to get as a side dish someday, it's the Curry Club Biryani, and they say it's their specialty. And it's basmati rice cooked with fresh mixed vegetables, lamb, beef, chicken, shrimp, eggs, and various Indian spices. What you're looking at is the Indian version of house fried rice.
Yeah, and it's suggested for
four people or more. It's $15.95. It's a side rice dish. I want to try that so badly.
Yeah, that looks awesome.
Yes. They have a limited dessert menu. It's the one traditional Indian dessert that's the milk ball fried, and they pour the syrup over it.
Let's see if I can say it, because I know you don't want
to. I can't say it.
Gulab jamun?
I've had it before.
And then they have mango ice cream.
Yes. And if you're going out on a date kind of deal, they do a dinner for two. They do a vegetarian version of it, and they do a regular meat version of it. It's a pile of food for $24.95 for two people. They do a single dinner for one that's $10.95 that's similar. Now, if you go out for three people and you want to do the dinner for two, you can add another person for $12.95.
Hey, that's a pretty good thing.
It looks like a pile of food. It's
got
samosa, vegetable pakora, butter chicken, lamb or beef curry, mixed veggies, at peas pilu, which is...
You had the peas pilu before.
Yeah, my boss made it. The Indian boss I had in Morgantown, she made it. It's really good.
It's
pretty much
like
rice dish with peas mixed in with it. And
naan. And spices.
So, incredible value, especially considering the quality of the food. It was delicious. We had a great first impression. We're really looking forward to going back when we're in the mood for Indian food. Because we've kind of been jonesing for it.
I have been jonesing for it.
We've been jonesing for it for a while, and we're excited to find a place that's, less than a mile from our place.
Yeah, and
they
do
takeout. They do delivery. They have a website. We'll put it up on our site as well. Very exciting. They also have their liquor license, so you can get a beer. And they had
Cheetah Lager, which I actually almost bought at the LCBO. It's a dark lager, and it's brewed in Sri Lanka, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And the notes on it were that it was like dark chocolate and kind of like silky and creamy, almost like a very light stout. And I imagine that would cut right through the spice very nicely. Just like Guinness and hot wings is an amazing combination.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking that some of the Sri Lankan dark lager, Cheetah, would be really,
really,
really good,
good
with
that.
Their food.
We're
but
distracted.
I put it back and I got the Keith's.
Yeah, we were distracted. We found out Keith's does a dark,
right.
dark and beer. And we said, oh, we love Keith's. So.
And I think it was around Earth Day. And I'm like, oh, I should buy local.
Even though Keith's isn't that local. Yeah, we should buy on the side of the ocean.
Well, Keith's is from Nova Scotia.
Yeah, it's not quite local.
But it's brewed
in
here
Ontario.
In Ontario, too.
Yeah, true. But it's not like you were buying from
It's brewed Barry. By Labatt here.
Oh.
So it's just from Toronto.
Semi-local, then.
So there. Take it. 100 miles. Haha. Anyway.
Okay. So that's about all for the Indian cuisine thing. Expect more from us, probably on the restaurant. Little notes here and there as we do other episodes, as we've tried out more of
the menu. We should probably try and eventually do an Indian food primer.
We need more experience.
We need to learn more about it ourselves, though, before we attempt to teach anybody else.
I am not arrogant enough to think that I can even begin to talk about Indian food to anybody, because I just don't know enough about it. I haven't eaten enough of it. I need to eat at least 2 dozen more meals. So you better get cracking. Though, I would say one cautionary tale is you will have hellacious burps after you eat curry in Indian food in general. I've already been punishing Sheila today with them, so.
She's like, oh, I don't feel good. Oh, I feel better. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, it smells
pretty bad. Curls
my
nose hairs.
So we do have a part two to this episode. This is just a quick little media review. I read a book. Surprise, surprise.
Yay!
I've read lots of books lately. It's Everyday Drinking by Amos Kingsley?
Kingsley Amos.
I'm sorry. Yes.
He has the misfortune or fortune of having a very unique first name.
Yes. So, this fellow, he's dead. He died.
Really?
He died in the 90s.
Oh.
Don't act like it was yesterday.
Well, I've never
he's supposed to be
heard
a
of
famous,
him before. I'm sorry.
Well, he's supposed to be a famous British novelist.
Okay.
He wrote tons and tons of books, and he's also a famous drunkard. Not really drunkard, connoisseur of drink. He used to have a column back in the 70s and 80s in one of the newspapers in Britain. It was all about drinking.
Okay.
And this book, Everyday Drinking, is supposed to be a compilation of three short books that were compilations of his articles that he wrote.
Okay. So it's a compilation of some compilations.
Exactly. So you can tell right there, it's going to be repetitious. I first started reading it, I thought, oh, this is great! And then I got halfway through it and realized it started to repeat itself. All the time. But it was interesting to read for two reasons. One, he has some good information about types of drinks in general, and it's humorously written as to how he approaches these. And the second one, it was entertaining to see somebody's attitude through the 60s and 70s towards alcohol and how incredibly wrong he is on so many things. His advice on how to deal with a hangover is about some of the worst things you can do to yourself.
Yeah.
We know through science and all those other things that hangovers need to be treated with things like vitamins and
copious amounts of rehydration,
and food is good, and you've poisoned yourself, so you need to deal with it like you've just poisoned yourself. And you don't want to take ibuprofen or those things before you go to bed while you still have all that alcohol in your body. In fact, you probably don't even want to take Tylenol the next morning while you still have alcohol in your system. So we've learned a lot from that, but some of his approaches to that, His idea of alcohols that don't make you fat is hilarious.
Yeah.
Apparently hard liquor's the worst one for you. Which we also know now that the calorie count on hard liquor is much lower than beer. Granted,
right.
It's the mixer that you add that makes it so much worse for you. So you can have 160 calorie beer, or you can have a rum and coke where the rum's 60 calories and the diet coke's nothing.
Right.
So take everything in there with a grain of salt. I don't even think I'd recommend buying it. I would recommend borrowing it or librarying it.
Well, it's interesting to see in hindsight, just as I'm sure that people are going to look at our attitudes with great mirth and horror, a mixture of mirth and horror of how we thought of things.
And the format it's set up, because it's short articles all put together, really, it makes it the perfect bathroom book. If you know somebody who likes to read in the bathroom and they like to drink, maybe it's a great Christmas gift for them if you can find it, like in a paperback for a decent price. Something, a gag gift maybe. But I wouldn't
recommend...
Give it
to your boy when he goes to college.
I don't recommend taking it seriously at all. It's something meant to be humorous. Don't take what's in it at face value.
Right.
You'll be very, very sorry. So, anything else you wanted to add it in?
I don't think so. I think
Little Miss Fleur de Sel?
Oh, Bulk Barn has Fleur de Sel. Go out and buy some.
What's Fleur de Sel?
Fleur de Sel is a French sea salt. That's translated as, I think it's flower salt, and it's made at this one beach in France where they boil the sea salt, and it's prized by chefs, or at least it was.
It's overpriced salt that's very coarsely ground that Sheila is obsessed with, because she's obsessed with strange things. And
just
it's
like
usually,
you.
Yes, that's why she's married to me. It's usually hideously expensive. A little tiny thing of it's $8 to $10, $12, and for some reason Bulk Barn was carrying it in these little pre-measured tubs. And they were still, you know, almost $10, $8-something.
Well, a lot of grocery stores started doing the Hawaiian pink salt and the Cypress smoked salt and everything.
So we go by today to go get the dog's payday pig ear, and they had the little tubs of Fleur de Sel half off.
I'm like, all right.
So Sheila got a little tub of Fleur de Sel so she can fondle it and look at it and try to think of what she's going to use it on. I expect Floor to sell one of my pretzels the next time you make beer pretzels.
Okay.
I think it's the perfect application for it. You can taste the salt at least.
Yeah.
So anyway, if anybody's in Canada and you haven't checked your local bulk barn and you're a foodie, you might want to check out their salt selection. Because I'm willing to bet if one of them marked it down, most of the chain probably did to clear it out. They're not going to carry it anymore. So, all right, well, this is Tracy.
And this is Sheila. And we are Zwei Fat Chicks. Thanks for listening.
We hope you enjoyed the Zwei Fat Chicks podcast. Please add us as a friend on MySpace and or Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter. Please email your comments, questions, or suggestions to zweifatchicks@gmail.com. That's zweifatchicks@gmail.com. Our theme music is Hot Swing by Kevin MacLeod. Our podcasts, like Mr. MacLeod's music, are protected under a Creative Commons attribute copyright. You can make copies of our shows and share them with friends, but please make sure that credit is given. Once again, thank you for tuning in, and we hope you have a great day.